Welcome to another episode of Focus Points, where we ask one simple question. What do we need to know in order to profit more from reading this book of the Bible? Let's look at another book of the Bible together so that we can better know our God and His Word. Today we're going to be looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written by Paul to the church at Thessalonica. Now what do we need to know about Thessalonica that would be helpful to understanding these books? Well, Thessalonica was located in the region of Macedonia, which is northeastern Greece. Macedonia might sound familiar because a man from that region was a part of Paul's vision that brought Paul from sharing the gospel in Asia Minor over into Greece. So Thessalonica was a part of Macedonia. Thessalonica was also an important political and commercial center. All right, most of the cities were well connected to Rome, but Thessalonica had some very strong connections to what was happening in Rome, and that's going to come into play when we get further down into what Paul actually did at Thessalonica. So what do we know about Paul at Thessalonica? Well, Acts chapter 17, the beginning of the chapter, talks about Paul's time there. And we know that Paul's ministry was being fruitful. He was able to reach people in Thessalonica with the gospel. There were many Jews, there were some God-fearing Gentiles, and there were many prominent women who ultimately believed the gospel. But true to form, the Jews did not like this. And so those who had rejected the gospel come to the leadership in the city, and in verse 6 of Acts 17, they make accusations against Paul. And they say that these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And that's true. Paul had been turning the world upside down for Christ. But then they make a false accusation, and they say that these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, which is not true, right? Paul was not trying to attack or trying to cause some rebellion against Rome. He was preaching the gospel and talking about what a holy life ought to be looking like now that you are saved. But what do we know about Thessalonica? They had stronger than normal political ties with Rome, which meant this was not a light accusation. This was a very strong accusation, and one that ultimately drove Paul and his companions out of the city, which meant that Paul was really only at Thessalonica for about 3 weeks. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 talks about how there were three Sabbaths that he argued with the Jews in the synagogue, and he could have been there for a little while longer after that, just not in the synagogues talking to the Jews. But really, it was a very, very short time that he was there. But it was long enough for him to have a deep care and a concern for these people, and for the people in return to ultimately see his habits and his lifestyle that he's going to reference when he starts writing them these books. And just like 1 and 2 Corinthians have some overlapping material and really are building off of one another, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are doing a similar thing. There's these themes that really Paul starts in one and he continues in the other. And so we see this general topic of persecution, something that they saw Paul endure firsthand. And Paul talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 3:4, where he tells them, you know, when we were with you, we told you before that we would suffer tribulation, and even as it came to pass, and you know. In other words, we told you that the Christian life was not all roses, there was going to be persecution. Then we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, and Paul starts talking about the church at Thessalonica, how they were counted worthy of the kingdom for which they also suffered. All right, persecution is something that Paul's not trying to hide. He's talking about it in both books. Then we get to a second theme, one of endurance. The one that says, all right, here's truth, now stand fast in it. And so many of these passages in these two books that talk about endurance are tied to eschatology or prophecy. Paul's saying, this is what's going to happen in the future, now take heart now. And so you have one of the biggest of these passages in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where Paul writes, "For the Lord himself shall descend with a heaven, with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." There's our prophecy. Now the next verse, verse 18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." what is happening in the future has current ramifications, so endure and stand fast. And then a third theme, which is simply to have faith in light of what God has done to save you and what God will do to deliver you. Have faith in God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Notice what we have in God right there. Now, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. There's a faith that comes in our everyday life as we remember what God has saved us from and what God is going to do in the future. And so these are some of the themes that are running through these two books. So what are the messages? Well, as you read through these two books, I encourage you to keep these messages in mind. For 1 Thessalonians, we must live holy lives as we look for Christ's return. Christ coming back changes how I ought to be acting today. 2 Thessalonians, we must not worry or be anxious about Christ's return or use it as an excuse to live selfishly. In other words, we aren't to be scared that somehow we missed it. And we aren't to say, all right, if he's coming back, I'm going to drop everything I'm doing. I'm not going to work. I'm just going to lay on top of a hill and wait for him to come. No, that is not the way we respond to Christ's return. We respond to Christ's return by being diligent in the work that he has given us to do now. So may the Lord bless us and encourage us as we read through 1 and 2 Thessalonians this year.